remember Jeremy saying earlier that we have to renew our love to God. So it's a good theme. And I'm talking a little bit about this morning. So hopefully it'll be helpful to you. What do we think the main reason for prayer is? As we see this world's practices degenerating and its international collaboration reaching a seemingly all-time low, prayers for God's intervention can seem appropriate and necessary for our survival. But what is the main reason for prayer? What purpose should it serve? The prime purpose is to engage in fellowship with our Creator. The New Covenant has opened up that personal relationship for us through Jesus Christ. Under the Old Covenant, that wasn't available to us. Only the high priest once a year could enter the Holy of Holies on behalf of the people. As we know, Jesus Christ, our Saviour, gave his life for us so that with belief in him, we gain direct access to our Father. In prayer, we fellowship with him through his Son. If we neglect prayer, we pass up what Jesus has achieved for us. Perhaps we feel because of something we are ashamed of, that will not be heard. But Jesus Christ has paid the penalty for all of our sins, both past, present and future. We can seek fellowship with God any time of the day or night. He loves to fellowship with us. He has given us to Christ, so make him joyful. I suppose to some this can seem blasphemous, and that we should only approach him in intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer is important and should not be neglected. But the richness of prayer is to converse with God in loving praise, something that the Israelites were denied. We can use the excuse of saying we don't know how to express ourselves towards God. And perhaps humanly we don't. And God knows that. We need to remember, however, that when Jesus Christ returned to his Father in heaven, he promised to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to live in us, to teach us how to fellowship with our Maker and frame our words for us. As we know, the disciples asked Jesus how they should pray. Richard covered some of this last week. How we should pray. They obviously find it a struggle to communicate their thoughts. Let's look at Luke and in verses 1 to 4. And this is from the New King James Version. Luke, verses 1 to 4. And it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Remember, Jesus said of himself, by himself, he could do nothing. It was the Father in him that motivated him. The Holy Spirit of God, in his humanity, was forming the prayers for him. Therefore, he knew he would be heard. On to verse 2. So he said to them, when you pray, our Father in heaven, he included himself in that opening statement, hallowed be your name. All honour and glory goes to God the Father. Your kingdom come, showing our expectation of him fulfilling his word. Your will be done. Our request for him to override our will through his power, on earth as it is in heaven, knowing full well that his plan is on course to be fulfilled. Give us day by day our daily bread, showing him that our every spiritual need is provided for him, or by him for us. And forgive us our sins, showing him that we realize we still have the proclivity to sin, although we are forgiven by what Christ has done for us. For we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. In other words, help us avoid wrong temptations and through your prayer working in us, your power working in us, help us combat Satan. This is what the disciples needed, a guiding format of how to approach the Father in heaven, ensuring that they would have fellowship with him. We can be fervent but mistaken in the way we walk. In the way of God, we become accusative and perhaps point the finger at others who we think are not serving God as they should do. A typical example of this was the way Paul, or Saul as he was called then, persecuted the Christian followers. Paul was doing his work on his own strength. He was not in fellowship with God. If he was praying, it was not through the Holy Spirit. His fellowship was not with the Father. Let's read the account in Acts 22, and in verses 3 to 10. Acts 22, in verses 3 to 10. Paul began by telling his audience how fervent he was about God. He didn't really know that he didn't fellowship with. I am indeed a Jew born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous towards God as you are all today. I persecuted this way of death, binding and delivering into prison both men and women, as also the high priest bears me witness, and so all the council of the elders, from whom I received letters to the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring in chains, even those who were there to Jerusalem to be punished. Now, it happened as I journeyed and came near to Damascus, at about noon, suddenly a great light from heaven shone around me, and I fell to the ground, and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? So I answered, who are you, Lord? Showing he didn't know God and God's representative. And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. But now let us look at Paul's response in verse 10. So I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, arise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all things which are appointed for you to do. Now he's told of his commission. Then he said, the God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth. For you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. Paul, who was a legalist, steeped in law-keeping, which he thought he was doing God a favour, now being told that he had been given a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, Paul lost his sight during this encounter, as we know, but now he began praying personally to the God he had just met. Let's confirm that in Acts 9 and in verse 11. Acts 9 and in verse 11. This is the Lord talking to Ananias. So the Lord said to him, arise, go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas, for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. That prayer, the personal relationship contact, allowed Ananias, to inform Saul of his commission. If we neglect prayer, we lose the opportunity to fellowship with the one who created us. His influence in our lives diminishes, and the thoughts of the Holy Spirit can fortify us, and it fades if we don't apply it. We can even see what a brief communication with Jesus Christ did for the thief on the cross. He offered a quick prayer to Jesus by asking him to remember him when he came into his kingdom. What was the reply? In the future, you will be with me in paradise. We are reminded in the scriptures that our concern should be for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Intercessory prayer is an important factor, and it shows God that we do care for one another. However, the main purpose of prayer is to fellowship with our Creator, so that we become more Christ-like, who rely totally on the Father in heaven. Jesus often emphasized that he humanly could do nothing for himself, but the works he did were through the power of the Father in heaven. He fulfilled the Father's will. That is why he often withdrew from his disciples and the crowds around him that probably drained him physically and spiritually, and through prayer, fellowship with his Father. Being refreshed, he could continue his commission. We have that priceless privilege because of what Christ did for us through the power of the Spirit. We can approach the Father's throne through him, and fellowship extends, as intended, to the triune nature of God, of Father, Son and Holy Spirit. As we know, Jesus Christ came into this world to reveal the Father to us. The world does not know him. We do through the Son. It is a mystery that has been kept from the world, and no one has access to the Father unless the Father draws them to him. So don't let us neglect our salvation that comes in close contact with our God. In the Epistle to the Hebrews, it says the following in chapter 2 and in verses 1 to 3. Epistle to the Hebrews and in verses 1 to 3. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through the angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by those who heard it? We have been given salvation by what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. If we neglect prayer, we fail to benefit from the available fellowship to those that love God. He refreshes us by their intimate fellowship with him. Through heartfelt need, and he listens and answers according to his will. So let's conclude by reading 1 Thessalonians 5 and verses 17 and 18. 1 Thessalonians 5. Verses 17 and 18. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ for you. There is an encouragement for us to follow. It's God's will that we fellowship with him through Jesus Christ. That is the main reason for prayer. If we are seeking heartfelt fellowship with him, he already knows our needs. As we know, all things will work together for good for those that love God. Let's read that scripture in closing. Romans 8 and verse 28. Romans 8 and verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, to those that are called according to his purpose. That purpose is to have fellowship with him in prayer without ceasing. Instead of prayer becoming a chore or a duty, look upon it as a loving communion with God.